Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
We are now digging through all of the facts to kind of learn as to how the assassination against Charlie Kirk even happened in the first place. It's hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, I've been waking up thinking that this was all just a really bad dream, and it's not, unfortunately. This is the reality. We have far left-wing terrorists living in this country right now, and we have to crack down on this. This was a very serious issue, unfortunately, that has not been taken very seriously. And Charlie Kirk, I mean, according to the president, one of his last discussions was blowing the whistle on how egregious these far left-wing organizations were getting and how the president, the federal government, needed to get a grip and go after them. Unfortunately, Charlie paid the ultimate consequence in all of this with his life. Now, although we all know where Charlie is now, it should have never happened in the first place. It shouldn't have happened in the first place. And it's egregious. It's infuriating. But we're learning more and more about the groups this individual may have been associated with. Again, these are just reports. We're not really getting much in the way of, I haven't seen much in the way of transparency at this point. You know, we're seeing press conferences where they're saying there was Discord chats, the Discord saying there were no chats. We're also seeing leaks being leaked to both the New York Post and Daily Mail, which has been enlightening. But again, I can't 100% say with confidence because it's just the report, whether these things are true or not. Joining me to discuss is Viva Fry. He is an incredible host over on Rumble. He's a great show that he does every single day. He's also a former litigator, and he is with us now. Viva, I'm excited to have you on today's program, my friend. A lot going on in the world, and it's been a very sad last few days, given the fact that we lost the incredible Charlie Kirk. I just want to take a moment before we dive into the topics for today, for you to reflect on Charlie. I know I had the honor of meeting him once at the RNC inside the Rumble studio, and he seemed like an incredible person, but I didn't know him closely. I know so many people are coming out and talking about how he used to send them scripture all the time, that he was just an inspirational person, but your reaction to both who he was and the legacy he leaves behind?
Well, I knew him less well than others, but I knew him well enough. I mean, I'd been on his show a few times over a few years. I'd known him for a few years. You know, they had to pick someone who's, I say, innocent in the sense of pure. They're trying to do everything they can in their power to demonize him retroactively, to make it seem as though somehow it's either morally justified for these psychopaths or not a tragedy because. And you have people now, you know, they called him a bigot, a racist, all of the words they use to describe people who are Christian and proud Christians for, you know, the better part of a decade, and then act all shocked and surprised as how something like this happens. But they have to and had to pick someone innocent and pure in a spiritual sense in order for it to have the impact that it has had. Picking on people who are loathed in media universally or bipartisanly, it wouldn't have been the same shocking impact as this. And in the wake of it, it's like, you know, Robert Barnes and I were talking about it last night during our show. There's three levels of shock, you know, how it could happen. I forget what the third one was, the second one was, but the third one was the public reaction to this. It's repulsive. It's abhorrent. It's not civilized nation responses. It is animal responses from people who are, it's one thing to engage in vitriol on Twitter and then the internet. People do it. It's the internet culture, you know, GKYS is something you see all the time. It's, you know, people say it all the time on the internet. It's another thing to actually post your, I'm looking at these ugly faces.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It's another thing. It's one thing to say, like, you know, go FYS on Twitter, go G key, you know, go kill yourself. It's one of the tropes. It's another thing to post videos as though this wasn't a human, as though this wasn't a man, a father, a son, a brother, and as though this man was the equivalent of Hitler. I mean, it is what happens in the mind of a demented individual when they equate silence to violence, when they equate words to violence. Well, then you get to fight silence and words with violence, and it's morally justified in your unhinged head. And the amount of people, reasonable people who I know directly, like, this is not just abstract avatars, real people, real faces in social circles, it's abhorrent. And I don't know what it takes for a society to take a step back. These people have taken so many steps forward. There is no backing down from having rejoiced in the assassination of a peaceful man only speaking words. There's no backing down from that. So all those people need to be remembered and need to be avoided and shunned, but there are a lot of them, and it's really, really despairing to see the amount of rejoicing psychopaths on this earth, on campuses, on social media, on Facebook, on Blue Sky, rejoicing in this as though it was Osama bin Laden. And even when it was Osama bin Laden, I'm going to go pull up my tweet from back. You don't rejoice in the fact that you even had to kill a terrorist. You say, okay, it was a necessary thing to do. You don't rejoice in murder unless you are a villainous psychopath. And we are witnessing a generation of villainous psychopaths on social media who think it's cutesy to bat their eyelashes and say, I'm so glad. It's psychotic, period. I don't know where it goes from here.
Yeah. And, you know, I was a little relieved when I heard President Trump say that there are ongoing investigations regarding a lot of these groups that we're discussing right now. Let's play that soundbite because I think that was very enlightening and it brought me a lot of hope.
Well, the problem is on the left. If you look at the problem is on the left. It's not on the right, like some people like to say on the right. The problem we have is on the left. And when you look at the agitators, you look at the scum that speaks so badly of our country, the American flag burnings all over the place, that's the left, that's not the right.
Do you plan on investigating?
We'll see. We'll be announcing. Okay. They're already under investigation. You know, they're already under major investigation. A lot of the people that you would traditionally say are on the left.
They're already under
investigation? Already under investigation.
All right, when it comes to RICO, this is a possibility, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, the question I would have to follow up was already as in post-assassination or pre-assassination.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I'm not besmirching the current FBI and there's no but to that. Historically, there have been a great number of cases where the FBI might have been tailing the terrorist as he went to the Draw Muhammad thing that happened a while back. You know, they might have been tailing him as it happened. There are a number of cases where the FBI had advanced knowledge of a number of things. Yeah, he was known to law enforcement. So were they investigating prior to the assassination or is this new after and they're going to actually, you know, enforce the law?
Yeah, I think it's an important question to ask because, again, you know, and I was enraged when I saw it, but we sat there and watched as people like Bill Gates was sitting at the White House just, what was it, last week? And a lot of his donations have gone to these far left groups, I should say. And the reality of it is they all need to be investigated. I mean, the fact that Soros money is making its way into all of these groups and he is a foreigner and we should not be allowing this to happen is gut-wrenching because it is happening. But then when you see, you know, Zuckerberg sitting there and Bill Gates and, you know, the usual characters that we know are not our allies in this fight for freedom, they're sitting there, they got a seat at the White House. It's a bit enraging. How do we go after the funding in all of this? Because the funding is the key problem. Once the funding goes away, then these groups will slowly start to fall off too.
Well, I mean, it was Cernovich, I think, was the first person I saw who made this observation. So I've got to give this credit of this bit of wisdom to Cernovich, Mike Cernovich, said, investigate and defund these organizations. Soros, Open Borders, Open Society, sorry, not Open Borders. Investigate these activist organizations who are financing the upheaval. It's very easy. And whether or not RICO charges can originate from it, you know, investigate and defund, period. The government's, to some extent, the country's literally funding its own demise. And the outside forces who seek to destabilize, sovereign nations for the purposes of justifying a perpetual surveillance state, justifying a one world government. I mean, they have a clear agenda to this and they have a clear role in it. And so like Cernovich says, investigate them, RICO charges if warranted and defund and prosecute. Even if there's no RICO there, the level of corruption that exists that has never been explored, that has never, the surface has never been scratched. It's like, it's the joke, sort of. You scratch the surface with Adam Schiff, you find mortgage fraud. You scratch the surface with Lisa Cook, you find mortgage fraud. You scratch the surface with the Letitia James, the people who've been prosecuting the Republicans, you'll find the fraud. Scratch the surface on these corrupt organizations and you'll find the criminality. But it hasn't been done yet and the time is long overdue.
Yeah, it is long overdue. And I was hoping that this ball was rolling from day one. I was hoping that the DOJ had a blueprint on what they were going to be doing. Doesn't look to be the case, but again, we don't know 100%. Maybe there was something going on behind closed doors. Normally, I do hear whispers, but I was not hearing any whispers on this front. So we do hope that there is going to be some moves here because this is something that should be a top priority for this administration. They have been on the receiving end of a lot of this harassment, the abuse, the assaults, and so they need to correct this. Viva, I want to thank you for joining me today. You do an incredible job over on Rumble. So folks, give him a follow there as well on X. It is a pleasure to have you on my very first American Journal hosting show. So thank you for being here with me, Sarah. I appreciate it as always.
Our world is so full of hype. We are force-fed dehumanizing propaganda by the corporate media, by the controlled churches and the universities. And why is this the case? Because we innately, by God, have been given the keys to our own minds, our own psyches, our own souls. And by connecting to God, we can empower ourselves and transcend the, quote, fallen or sinful state. So the chemicals that we ingest and all the things that we try to bring into our bodies to change who we are only lowering us. They're only making us more depressed. In the end, they're only making us less fulfilled. It is only by going within and really making that connection to God that we can truly empower ourselves. That's why the globalists bombard us with toxins and chemicals to block us getting the normal vitamins and minerals and trace elements our bodies need to be healthy and to be able to basically reach out beyond the third dimension. And that's where the incredible products come in at InfoWarsStore.com.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effect that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.